You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
Hello, and you're listening to The Christian Commute for Thursday, March 19th. I'm your host, Seth Dunn, and I'm in the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A, which is... It looks like Atlanta traffic right now, if there was any Atlanta traffic. By now, you will have noticed that you're not getting any Christian Commute episodes. And that's because me and all of my team at work, because we are non-productive pencil pushers, all the pencil pushers are working from home. My factory's still running, but all the people who don't necessarily have to be there are working from home, and that includes me. Now, I would drive into work and sequester myself in my office, but I have a cold. It may be strep throat. I don't know. I feel a lot better than I did Friday night, but I've actually been sick. I was sick over the weekend, and I've had a stuffy nose and a cough since, and there's no way I'm going to the doctor in this mess. I'm pretty sure I don't have COVID, but because I have a cold, I'm staying home. And I left today because I had to go pick up Studio B. So it's been a while since we had an episode from Studio B, but here I am in Studio B giving you this pandemic episode, special pandemic episode of The Christian Commute. Does this qualify as a pandemic? My kids are home from school all month. I'm sure the same's for your kids. I got an email from Candace today, like, what's up? Are you working from home? Where's my podcast? So here it is, Candace. Here's your podcast. And I just want to pay special attention to Candace and Mary and to Martha, my more senior listeners. I hope you guys are staying safe from the coronavirus, and that you have people to look out for you. And I really appreciate you guys as listeners and hearing from you always. Appreciate all my listeners. And if you guys are trapped at home, here's a little something to listen to. I'm going to talk today. Well, we'll just go with it. Why give it a title? I didn't plan this show, but let's get right into what matters. The Bible chapter review. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 6. In verse 5, Peter reminds people of the psalm, the proverb, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And we're waiting for the chief shepherd to appear so we receive our unfading crown of glory. So Peter says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, remember, Peter has told the shepherds, don't lord your position over everybody. Rather, look out for them. These are the people who have been appointed to you. And then he talks to the younger men, be subject likewise to your elders. And then the general tenor of this epistle is don't freak out under persecution. And Peter identifies that there's a very real adversary out there, and he's the devil, and he's seeking someone to devour. So cast your anxiety about the present time upon God. Because if you're anxious, you're opened up to the attacks of the devil. Think about what Paul says elsewhere about the qualifications of elder. And he talks about, you know, better, not somebody who's a new convert. Not somebody who could fall into the snare of the devil. Like, oh, now I'm an elder, and I'm all these people are in charge of me. And you get a little high and mighty. You get a little high-minded. And think about people who should be submitting to their elders. They don't want to submit to authority. That's how the devil acts. So if you're under persecution and you're trying to make yourself the number one guy, not submitting or abusing the people under your authority, you'll be opened up to the devil. Rather, come together as a church and depend on one another and love one another. And whatever anxiety you have, cast it upon God. Remember that He's going to come back, and that, and in doing so, you're freeing yourself or insulating yourself from the schemes of the devil. Resist. How are you able to do this? Because you're firm in your faith. And you know that this is happening to a lot of people, a lot of your brethren around the world. And although you will suffer, God will come back and glorify you. Yes.
A 12-pound egg and meal, medium fry, medium half and half.
That's right.
Well, straightforward, okay?
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Sorry, that was the Chick-fil-A person. So, be strengthened in your faith. After you have suffered a little while. More Chick-fil-A people.
What was the name of the order?
Seth Dunn.
Oh, it's right here.
Okay, do you need a receipt, Seth?
No.
Okay, you can go ahead and pull up the window.
All right, I'm pulling up. I'm getting my Chick-fil-A. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to His eternal glory, so this God of all grace, it's a gift to you, unmerited. Who called you? God did it. Grace and calling. Don't miss that. Don't miss the grace of God and the calling of Him. Yes. Thank you very much. All right. So I paid for this Chick-fil-A. I deserve it. It wasn't grace. And I decided to go to Chick-fil-A, but it's God who gave me grace and called me. And it's called to an eternal glory. And everything, He does it all. He'll perfect, confirm, and strengthen and establish you. So we say to Him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. And with that, we end the Bible chapter review. It's Thursday. But nevertheless, I'm going to give you a Beth Moore update, even though it's not Monday. So even in the midst of this coronavirus crisis, I still got a Beth Moore donation from my faithful donator, who's been donating like bi-weekly over the past few months. It was another $50 or $75. I don't remember. I need to move it into my Beth Moore account. But here's the update. Southwest Airlines was advertising heavily on Facebook. We're like, hey, no change fees. See, we got great deals. I said, now's a great time to buy an airline ticket. So I bought my ticket from Southwest. It was, after all the fees, it was a little over $300. So I have my ticket purchased to fly to Boston in October. Presuming the cruise is not canceled, I don't know. The cruise lines are tanking. I don't know if I told you guys this the other day. I tried to short Royal Caribbean on margin in my Schwab account, but I didn't have enough money to do it because I hadn't put any money in my Schwab account. I would have made thousands of dollars had I done that because it really tanked. So by now I have put money in my Schwab account, and I have bought some oil exchange-traded funds just to hold on to. As long as these funds don't go under, eventually they'll go back up. So, guys, if you have cash, two things to do with your cash. One, fund my Beth Moore trip, my Beth Moore cruise, so I can go witness to these people. Listen, I got an email today from somebody like, oh, you know, I've been studying Beth Moore during this, and I'm like, oh, this is a person on influence over people studying Beth Moore. This is an important trip. Hopefully, I'll get that book written soon. So, yeah, that's one thing to do if you have money is give some to me, PayPal, Venmo, check in the mail, Patreon, whatever. And the second thing to do is if you've got cash, put it in the stock market. For example, Southwest Airlines. Their stock's tanking. It'll go back up eventually. If you don't need the money, if you don't need the money to spend right away or retire with, invest. That's my advice. Usually just theology on the Christian commute, but today a little financial advice from Seth Dunn, comma CPA. Does being a CPA qualify me to give you financial advice? No. No, it doesn't. In fact, you should probably call your financial advisor. I do a different type of finance. There's finance in the accounting side, and then there's finance in the investing side. But there is a truism in the stock world, buy low, sell high. All right, so that's the Beth Moore update. So today I'm going to do, since I'm almost home, a combination question show topic about watching church from home, because I imagine a bunch of you, your services have been canceled because the government is asking people, hey, don't gather in crowds larger than 50. And I got a call from Daryl. It was either yesterday or Tuesday. He said, Seth, I've been thinking about this. If I'm staying home from church, so I'm not going to church because we can't gather. I should say staying home from a church service because the church is the people, whether you're meeting or not. Why should I watch my church's service? Wouldn't I watch the best church's service? So I'm not just giving you an example. So I attend weekly, except not last week. Regularly attend Cartersville First Baptist Church. That's where I go to church. And we didn't meet Sunday because coronavirus. And the pastor sent out emails. He's been very good. He's saying, hey, while we're not meeting, here are some things to study. Make sure you're doing family worship and family devotion. Here are some resources. And he said, I will preach a sermon. And we'll stream it at 10:30. So he preached a sermon like he normally would. And everybody was going to tune in and watch, just like we were there. But everybody is doing this now. Everybody who can. I know a lot of small churches don't stream. And they're saying, all right, we can't come to church, but we'll stream the service. And bigger churches usually stream their service anyway. But you know, you're a good Christian. You're like, I'm going to go to my church. I'm not going to stay home and stream this service. But if you can't go to church, this is what Daryl was wondering, and I was thinking it too. Why would you watch your church's service? Would you not watch the best, the quote-unquote best? So now I'm stuck at home, and I'm going to watch a worship service. There's only one best preacher in the world. I want you to think about who the absolute best is. There's one. It's probably not your preacher, your pastor. So if you're staying home, you know, why not watch John MacArthur or somebody like that, who is one of the more polished preachers? Why would you stay home and watch your preacher preach? That's the question. And the answer to that would be, I think you would watch your preacher because he has a message to you, because you're his sheep, as it were. Yes, the sermon is general and it's coming from Scripture, but he probably has some encouragement for you as a church. And here's what the answer can't be. And by the way, if you want to watch the quote-unquote best preacher, that makes sense to me. Here's a question. If your preacher is so bad that given the opportunity on a Sunday morning, you'd rather watch somebody else that you're doing it, maybe you don't have the greatest pastor in the world, or maybe there's something at your church that needs to change. But that was an interesting question from Daryl. Why should I watch XYZ Baptist Church? Why don't I watch John MacArthur or Steve Lawson or whoever is out there streaming? Johnny Big Shot, you know, Jerry Vines. Jerry Vines is not streaming because he's retired. Why not? And then the question is, this is how you have to be careful. If I'm going to watch Johnny Big Shot now, who's this great preacher, well, why wouldn't I just stay home and watch him every week? Because staying home and watching a Sunday morning live stream of a preacher in an empty room is not church. Church is a gathering, inherently. That's a church service, I should say. A church service is inherently a gathering. That's why you hear me speak against people like Greg Locke and his internet members, or Robert Jeffress, who's not an adulterer scoundrel like Greg Locke, to my knowledge, and his iCampus at First Baptist Dallas. Because you got Robert Jeffress. He's one of these silver-tongued mega-preachers. Why not watch him? Streaming church is good. But it allows you to keep up with the sermons being preached at your church, your local church, while you're out sick, or while you may be, you know, bedridden. Maybe you're a shut-in. You know, just because some people are just shut-ins. Like old widows and stuff are shut-ins. And or people who are very sick are shut-ins. Now, we're all shut-ins right now because of the coronavirus. It's good that churches are taking steps to keep their messages, their sermons going out. But here's the reality. Guys, right now we're not having church. Like me, right now. First Baptist Cartersville. We didn't have church. And I'm not a member. I always make sure and tell people that I don't speak for them. First Baptist Church of Cartersville did not have church on Sunday. And all these other churches that are doing it, like my friend Ryan Putman, he's a pastor of First Baptist Kenner. They didn't have church. They had preaching, but they didn't have church. So you guys out there who are watching these live streams, I'm glad you're watching them. You should. But you didn't have church. All right? And if we say that we're having church, naturally the question's going to come up. If having church is live streaming somebody's message and making sure I donate to the cause, then maybe I should have church at the bigger preacher's church. And then ultimately questions come in like, what about care from a deacon? Some care from a Greg Locke at the online church, if you're some quote-unquote online member in Washington State, he's not going to send a deacon to take care of you, by the way, when you're sick. So that comes into play, too. Remember, church is the gathering. Otherwise, why would we ever even show up? Oh, where I got this spare person. All right, pull out so I can pull in. I can't believe this. People from the city, well, I guess that's okay. People from the city are out building the sidewalk in my neighborhood today. Life goes on, I guess. So, considerations of online church. Beth Moore update. That's today's show. It's a short one. How long did it take me to get home? I'm almost home. All right, here's a little 16, 17-minute Christian commute for you. Guys, don't forget to keep those questions coming to SethDunn88@gmail.com. SethDunn88@gmail.com. Because I will be back. Here's my neighbor. She's 91 years old. Ah, hey, Miss Betty, don't die. Going out in the coronavirus. I'll tell you what. My neighbor, Miss Betty, two doors down, is the healthiest old lady I have ever met. Like, she lives at the home and takes care of herself. I thought she was 80. She's like, I'm 90. Wow. Anyway, look after your old people. Make sure somebody's taking care of you. Be safe out there. Be smart. For those of you whose churches are meeting, and God bless you. Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again one day soon. As always, God bless. Remember, Christianity is not about getting saved. It's about being saved.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to SethDunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.